Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 12 from the ACE Online course. Let's go ahead and jump straight into this. So Chapter 12, just to kind of give a little intro, is really about understanding the application of all the previously learned information as it regards individual clients and client needs. So although this chapter is not heavily weighted on the test, it is pretty good to kind of understand, you know, what assessments you might choose for someone with certain goals, what considerations you would need to take into account for people with certain issues, and kind of allow you to get the we'll say programming or assessments that lead to programming setup for an individual client. So I don't recommend going through and reading every single word of this chapter, as we can kind of, you know, really give you some good information as far as just like, how would you address this person? How would you address a client? How would you address their needs? How would you address their assessments based on their needs? And then how would you address their needs through program design? So we're just going to give some brief overview or a brief overview in the PowerPoint and get a little bit deeper as we go through the audiobook lecture. But let's go ahead and start on slide one. But basically, it is called Chapter 12, the ACE IFT Model in Practice. And as we go over to slide two, we first talk about client example number one, which her name is Sharon. So when we think about working with a client, we absolutely, first things first, we want to get to know them. We want to build rapport because once we build rapport, they'll feel more comfortable with us or they'll feel more comfortable sharing their goals with us. Our first kind of job is to really understand, hey, Sharon, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in your or with your fitness, with your health? What are your main goals around what you'd like to achieve? And, you know, getting to know Sharon is a great way to kind of find that out. And then just asking her directly when you get the opportunity to talk a little bit further, you know, what are you trying to achieve? And so for Sharon, she is trying to return to her pre-baby weight and resume normal pre-pregnancy activity levels. So Sharon had a baby, I believe it was about 1 year ago or so, they specifically mention in the book. And she has not been as active because she's been a full-time mom, or she's been a mom and hasn't had as much time to exercise. So she used to be athletic, she used to be active, and she has maintained some of the baby weight that she put on through the process. So initially with that thing, or with that thought in mind, I would definitely want to know, well, did you have the baby via cesarean section or naturally? And that would assist me in determining maybe some specific issues around core strength. Cesarean sections typically do cut through the muscular wall in the lower abdomen. So that would potentially be an issue. They didn't mention it in this book, which is kind of surprising because we want to know. My guess would be that she had a normal birth or natural birth. And that's why they didn't really go into it. But you want to ask her all about it. Want to ask her how she felt, congratulate her, build that rapport. And from that point, you're basically dealing with a weight loss client. Okay? Because her main goal is return to the pre-baby weight, which I think it was 10 to 15 pounds still. And then the pre-pregnancy activity levels, that just kind of comes with working with you as a personal trainer. She's trying to get motivated to work out. So it's really not as much about returning to normal pre-pregnancy activity levels. It's more about the specific goal of weight loss. All right, so considerations that you need to take into account for Sharon. So we always want to know very specifically, well, there's a good amount of things, but we're going to start with understanding her posture. What are our postural considerations that she is dealing with? And the postural considerations that she is dealing with specifically were listed. And she does have the kyphosis lordosis muscle kyphosis lordosis posture, which is an excessive arch in the low back and a little bit of rounding in the upper back. So we know that with that issue, we are probably going to be starting in phase one. And since she hasn't been active for a year, we're starting in phase one probably regardless, since pretty much all weight loss clients do start in phase one. Yeah, so she has kyphosis, lordosis, posture. So you want to address that. You have to determine the tight muscles associated with the postural issues that she has. And the way that you're going to include that in her program is you're going to stretch the tight muscles that are in the warm-up and then strengthen the weak muscles in the warm-up. Make sure you are foam rolling, stretching the tight muscles and then strengthening the weak muscles, activating the weak muscles, it may be called. Since she is returning from pregnancy, you would want to focus on improving core strength. That's a big part of phase one training, so that's already included. No major risk factors as far as cardiovascular, respiratory, or metabolic issues. And then in the textbook, they're going to have a nice little sample of Sharon's phase one, two, and three resistance training and cardio programs, as those would be her main first 3 months, we'll say, of training. So phase one, remember that stability mobility training. Phase two, you introduce the five primary movements. And then phase three, you can maybe work on a little bit of toning or moving more towards that muscular endurance, hypertrophy, or even a little bit of muscular strength. So yes, resistance training wise, you do want to make sure that she is moving maybe towards that movement training and load training phases two and three, as increasing a little bit of muscle mass can assist with losing body fat. Okay, it's very healthy for the hormones, and balancing those hormonal levels will assist in reducing body fat further than just a cardio program, I'll say. So check that out in the textbook, and that can kind of help you really understand, you know, what considerations Sharon should do. Maybe, guys, even try that workout yourself. It's listed in there for you. I highly encourage that you try a phase one workout, try a phase two workout, try a phase three workout that ACE has created in this chapter, as that can kind of give you an idea of, you know, what it may feel like for the client that you'd be taking this or a program like this through. All right, cool. Moving on to my homeboy, David. Once again, you're looking to determine what is David's goal. You've built the rapport, you've talked to him, and now you're in front of him, maybe in a free fitness session, trying to just get to know a little bit more about his goals. And David says he wants to improve performance in golf. David does some cycling, and he's pretty dang active, but he wants to improve his golf performance. He's a pretty good golfer, but wants to be even better because he has some business trips, I believe, that were that in which golf is, or playing good at, or being good at golf would help his confidence and business savvy and be a little bit more fun for him. So the considerations for David are slightly different because David did not just have a baby. The considerations for David are going to be obviously some postural issues, which are going to be ankle pronation, meaning the feet flatten, the knees cave in. That's called pronation distortion syndrome, or pronation of the ankle. And then rounded shoulders. Guys, anytime that somebody cycles a lot, the main position for cycling is going to be a rounded kyphosis thoracic spine and shoulders, kind of this hunched sort of elbows in front of you leaning on the handlebars. And unfortunately for David, cycling and golf posturally don't mix too well. And that's why his cycling is hurting his posture for golf, because he has those rounded shoulders and maybe a little bit of decreased thoracic mobility because of all that rounding on the cycle. Okay, but what do you want to do for David? Well, you know the issues around posture, so now you want to basically determine what muscles are tight associated with those postures and what muscles are weak associated with those postures, and address them during the warm-up. Okay, so David is working out with you. He has ankle pronation. You know his calves are most likely tight and peroneals are probably tight, so you're going to foam roll and stretch those. His knees cave inward. That means he has most likely tightness in the adductors, the inner thigh muscles, maybe weakness in the outer abductor of the hip muscles. So foam roll and stretch the adductors while strengthening the hip abductors, gluteus medius, gluteus maximus. You could do that. You could strengthen those through like tube walking, lateral tube walking, or some specific isolated abduction exercises. And then the rounded shoulders, pec major, latissimus dorsi are the main culprits there. ACE would also say subscapularis, as well as maybe teres major. Even anterior deltoid, pec minor, those sort of muscles. Just foam roll and stretch those tight muscles. Strengthen the ones that retract the shoulders, which are rhomboids, mid-lower trap specifically, as well as external rotators, which is going to be your teres minor and infraspinatus of the rotator cuff. So, foam roll and stretch those muscles, strengthen the weak ones, and then that your main goals for David are going to be to improve flexibility for golf, so a good amount of phase one work. He has no major risk factors, so you don't need to take into consideration any CVD, metabolic, or respiratory issues, or program towards those. And then in the book, you can check out David's phase one, phase two, and phase three resistance training and cardio program. So as far as golf specific training goes, flexibility is so important. The more that he can increase his thoracic rotational flexibility, as well as shoulder flexibility, that is going to assist him with whipping that golf club through his swing and increasing the ability to hit the ball farther and experience less pain when he does swing the golf club. He's also focusing on the movement phase, and then as well as the load phase to potentially increase a little bit of strength and maybe power through the golf swing. All right, moving on to my homegirl Jan. Jan is a basketball player as well as volleyball player. She's younger. She is looking to improve performance in those two sports because she wants to get a scholarship for college, or she wants to improve her performance in those sports. So Jan is a younger female coming to you. She wants to improve vertical jump height and upper body strength. That is going to improve those performance, or improve her performance in volleyball and basketball. And the considerations for Jan, so really when you think about volleyball, it depends what position she plays in volleyball, but if she's a jumper and she's an outside hitter, maybe she definitely needs to work on explosive jumping as well as swinging of her primary arm. Power work is going to be really important. Getting into that phase four training is definitely important. So, but you never want to start her in phase four. You want to definitely increase her movement patterns, her load training, and then into her load training before you get into phase four, in order to make sure that she has proper movement mechanics. But what are some of the other considerations? She has a sore right shoulder. She's most likely right-handed, in which she's swinging her arm a lot for volleyball. Sore right shoulder. I believe they even mentioned that her shoulder range of motion is limited in the right shoulder because it's used so much to swing in volleyball. She squats with her knees. Since she squats with her knees, she doesn't have good squat mechanics, so you need to teach her. How do you teach her? If anybody ever squats with their knees or has an excessive forward lean or any issues with their squat, you always want to teach the hip hinge exercise first to get them to understand how to properly begin a squat and or deadlift move, and also teach glute activation and glute dominance. Okay, it appears since Jan is squatting with her knees, she has quadricep dominance, which we don't want and is not explosive, or not as explosive for vertical jump height. And she also has low strength. She's in the 30th percentile for vertical jump height for her age category. Definitely looking to improve all that. We determined that she has tight muscles, because she has tight muscles associated with certain postural issues, she should definitely work on foam rolling and stretching the tight muscles while strengthening the weak muscles associated with those postural imbalances. And once again, you're going to improve vertical jump height through performance-based training in phases 3 and 4. But we're going to start with phase 2 to make sure that she has proper mechanics. You can stay in phase 2 for only 2 weeks. Maybe 4 weeks, but then you want to make sure you do that to teach her the exercises before you get into that loaded training. No major risk factors. That's great. Don't have to take into account any CVD, metabolic, or respiratory issues. And you can look at Jan's phase 2, phase 3, phase 4 resistance training programs in the book. So remember, applying those programs to a new client is done through teaching the client the exercise and then determining a proper load for that individual client. Let's say you're dealing with a male that wants to do the exact same thing. Typically, males are going to be able to lift a little bit more So you would need to adjust the loads a little more up to make sure that the principle of overload is taking place. So really, look at the programs and then adjust them to your client's needs if they're in a similar situation. If you are looking to improve vertical jump height for basketball or volleyball or any other sport, really, check out those programs. Give them a try. Definitely helps to go through to see what that person is or what your clients may feel when they're going through it. Very important. All right. Looking at Stanley. Good old Stanley. Stanley is a very simple client, a very common client that you'll get in the industry. He has a very simple goal of weight loss. He does have higher risk factors associated with training because he is sedentary. That's already a risk factor. And then he has more other risk factors, so it is important to get a doctor's release, especially if you're looking to do the vigorous intensity exercise. But he's basically just looking to improve general health, improve general fitness, improve flexibility. So that pretty much puts you in a phase one and phase two training program. He's not looking to increase, performance in any way. So maybe load training and power training is probably not going to be optimal for him. Always with any client, determine the tight muscles associated with posture imbalances. Stretch them during the warm-up, foam roll and stretch them. As well as strengthen the underactive muscles associated with those postural imbalances. We already mentioned he's sedentary. Very simple client, guys. This is probably your most common client, minus all the risk factors. They're going to come to you and say, I want to lose weight. And your goal is to create a program. So check those out for Stanley. Always start in phase one. Start slow. Ease them into it. And then progress as they get better. Okay, but always make sure overload is present. Make sure they're feeling like they got a good workout. And also, guys, with any weight loss client, you really do want to mention strategies for behaviors that are aligned with losing weight. That includes eating properly, sleeping appropriately, the appropriate length of time. 8+ hours is always going to benefit someone for weight loss. Most of the time, people function on 100% fat while at rest, meaning while asleep. Meaning if you sleep a little bit longer, not only does it improve your hormones for the day, but it also assists in burning a little bit more fat, which sounds a little funny to sleep off fat. But when someone's eating well, a lot of times they're going to burn the most fat during their sleeping periods. They're going to wake up lighter. That's because the body resets. And if the body resets utilizing fat, it's going to... When I say resets, it refuels all the muscles and repairs and does all that stuff. And a lot of times fat can be the fuel for that recovery when conditions are appropriate. Okay. I don't want to get into too much of nutrition because that's really not our scope of practice according to ACE. But definitely check out a few books I recommend, such as Good Calories, Bad Calories by Gary Taubes. That can kind of get you started on your research for what I have found to be the best approach for nutrition with my clients and myself. All right. Once again, that's Good Calories, Bad Calories by Gary Taubes. Very, very good informative book on the whole nutritional industry, as well as what strategies might be great for health in general, as well as weight loss. All right. I get so excited when I talk about that, and I want to just go into it really deep, but that's not the point of this lecture, so we'll get into that another time. I think I mentioned that Foods in Nature lecture on this current website, if you type in the search bar, can give you a little bit more of an idea of what I would suggest for you and your clients to give a try. Obviously, everyone's different. Everyone has different eating habits and needs. So keep that in mind whenever taking a recommendation from someone. Apply it to yourself. Tweak it to what you can do successfully. All right. So check out Stanley's phase one and phase two resistance training and cardio program. And pretty simple there. Nothing too crazy, pretty basic, but a lot of clients will be just like Stanley. All right, let's talk about my girl, Meredith. Meredith, she has the goal of increased performance in tennis and also wants to establish regular exercise to lose about 15 pounds. So another very common client. She's basically a weight loss client, but then she has the elements of improving her tennis game. So what's great about Meredith is that I can tell her, well, you want to establish regular exercise? Go play tennis more. That's get a game that's three times a week with a buddy or two that you can go out and play for an hour at a time, maybe more. Tennis is fun. You can play for most people that enjoy tennis can play for 2, 3, 4 hours on end. But obviously build up her endurance to that. Okay. But Meredith is an older lady. I believe she's recently retired or about to retire and looking to just, get in shape since she has that extra time to do so. Considerations for Meredith, very few flexibility issues, which is great. But even still, if she does have any flexibility issues, you want to determine the tight muscles associated with those postural issues and then stretch them during the warm-up, strengthen the underactive muscles as well. Create a plan for regular activity. That's kind of what I mentioned before. Hey, you like tennis? Let's go play tennis. Why don't we meet and I'll play tennis with you? Hopefully you're good enough to keep a few rallies if you offer that. But that can be a part of even your workouts. If you work at a country club that has a tennis court, 30 minutes of strength training, 30 minutes of tennis. Let's go hit the ball around. Or even do tennis drills, stuff like that. Lateral shuffles. But that's more after you've got her through the phases, 2 and 3 programs, and then you can work on that power and performance-based training with her. But she does have osteoarthritis. What is osteoarthritis? It's basically a wearing of the articular cartilage that has led to, we'll say, less cushion in her joints. Typically, with tennis, I would assume it's in the knees. But since she has osteoarthritis, she'd need to be pay close attention to any pain that she may be feeling during exercise and modify the exercise if she does feel pain. So just keep that in mind. All right, and then you can check out Meredith's phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4 resistance training and cardio programs in the book for program specifics. Give one of those a try. Pretty good there. Simple programs that you can do. Guys, remember though, when you are creating a fitness program, you always want to make sure that you are addressing the entire body. The 5 primary movements is what ACE recommends. I break it up into, we'll say, 6 primary movements, but the horizontal pushing and pulling, vertical pushing and pulling, and lower body pushing and pulling to make it simple. That's 6 different major muscle groups, and you hit all of them. And then the accessory groups, biceps, triceps, maybe upper middle back. It's kind of in the horizontal pulling, and then calves, forearms, stuff like that. All right, go Meredith. Kick some tennis butt. All right, moving to Kelly. Good old Kelly. Go Kelly. Basically, Kelly is another normal client. She wants to lose weight and she wants to gain muscle. Very common for most people. Like when they lose weight, they want to also get a little bit more toned. I don't see her wanting or see him or her wanting to. I can't remember if Kelly was a girl or a boy, but definitely not sure if she wants to go full load training, get buff, but definitely toned is the way that I would describe her goal, his goal. What are the considerations for Kelly? Lordosis and anterior pelvic tilt. So that's the lumbar arch, excessive arch in the low back, and anterior pelvic tilt. What muscles are tight with that? Well, for the test, as we learned previously, the hip flexors are definitely tight for that. Keep that in mind. Stretch those hip flexors. Rectus, femoris, and the psoas muscle group. Iliopsoas muscle group. So determine the tight muscles associated with that postural issue. Stretch them. Determine the weak muscles, strengthen them. The weak muscles would basically be the gluteus maximus is the main one, I'd say. Maybe even a little bit of hamstrings might be a little weak there too. And rectus abdominis, the six-pack muscle. All right. Establish a regular exercise and diet to assist with her goal achievement. And she doesn't have any major risk factors. And then you could check out her phase 1 and phase 2 resistance training program in the book. Phase 2 and phase 3 for Kelly in the book. All right, cool. So that's pretty basic. Once again, guys, I highly encourage that you look at those resistance training programs, try to understand them, try to perform them. The more programs that you have experience performing, the better that you will be in teaching various programs in to your clients as you get more and more clients and take them through workouts. So check it out more. I guess that's it. Good job. Anyways, go ahead and complete the audiobook lecture down below, and then the assignments associated with this chapter. Take the quiz and make sure you're passing well. And I look forward to seeing you down below at the audiobook lecture. Cheers.